Welcome to the North Central Baptist Church podcast. We hope you're challenged by the message from our pastor.
Take your Bibles and open them to the book of Judges. Judges chapter 3 and verse 31. And I'd like to dismiss the children to Children's Church. What a great song that just reminds us of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ. I love that line that was sung at the end. Death has died, love has won. Hallelujah. I don't know where you are in your life right now, but I can tell you that through the power of the gospel of Jesus, death can be defeated, discouragement can be defeated, and victory can be yours in the name of the Lord. You can't just sit there. Larry Walters was a truck driver in California. True story. Larry used to do the same thing every week. He'd work all week driving his truck, and on the weekends he would sit in his backyard in a lawn chair with a six-pack, and he would just snack and just sit there all day. He lived in a typical neighborhood, just small, you know, the lots looked the same, and he had a home there. It was nice and everything, but had a little patio, and he just sat back there. He got an idea one day, you know, why do I want to just sit here every Saturday? I got an idea. It'd really be cool if I could float up and see all my neighbors. So he went out and bought 35 weather balloons, filled them with helium, tied them to his lawn chair. He got all his friends over there. He said, now y'all hold me down, tie me down till we get all this affixed to my lawn chair. I had a regular Kmart lawn chair. And he said, you know, and he had a pretty good idea. He said, if I go too high, you know, I'm going to take a BB gun with me, and I'll just shoot out some of my weather balloons, and the helium will be less, and it'll cause me to come down. And so he had a good idea. So he sat down in his lawn chair, got his friends to hold it down, put all the weather balloons tied to it. He had a six-pack in one side of his lap. He took some peanut butter sandwiches with him on the other side. And his idea was he was just going to float up about 75 feet and just go around his neighborhood. So he said, all right, I'm ready. I got my BB gun. I got my refreshments. I'm sitting here. All right, turn me loose. And they cut the lines. And he didn't shoot to 75 feet. He shot to 10,000 feet. True story. He was first spotted by a Delta Airlines pilot who was coming into LAX, Los Angeles International Airport, and the pilot radioed the tower and said, I've just passed a man in a lawn chair. They told that pilot, you report to your superiors when you hit the ground. They thought he was crazy. They sent up chase planes. They finally got him down. His helium wore out, and they got him down. He got home. It was dark. TV stations got to his house. They knocked on his door. Larry answers the door. They said, Larry, they said, will you ever do that again? He said, nope. By the way, he never shot any balloons out because his hands were like glued to the side of that thing. He shot up so fast. Then they said this, why did you do it? His answer was, you just can't sit there. You just can't sit there. Shamgar is the guy we're studying in the Bible today. And I think Shamgar had had enough. Shamgar's attitude was, I just can't sit there. I've got to do something about the culture that I'm living in. And so in verse 31 of Judges chapter 3, it says this. By the way, in my Bible, there are only 49 words written about Shamgar. After him was Shamgar. This is verse 31 of chapter 3. Judges chapter 3, verse 31. After him was Shamgar, the son of Anath, who killed 600 men of the Philistines with an ox goad, and he also delivered Israel. Now take your Bible and go over one page to chapter 5, verse 6. It's another verse about Shamgar. Chapter 5, verse 6, it says, in the days of Shamgar, the son of Anath, in the days of Jael, the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. You add those two verses together, there are 49 words, at least in my particular version. I'd like to say to you that we can't just sit here. I want you to consider the state of our world. Consider our political situation. Consider what is happening around the world in the persecution of people. ISIS murdering people all over the world. Think about the family today and it's the turmoil in the family. Think about some of the positions of our laws that have changed just in recent days. Think about the gospel and how that really, truthfully, if we were honest, except for a few isolated instances, we are pretty anemic in our efforts to get the gospel to people. We need to realize, church family, we can't just sit here. Now, this is wonderful. I love worshiping with you, and I love coming and preaching and us studying the Bible. But the Lord has purpose for us to do this in such a way to equip us to go outside of these buildings, outside of this building, this worship place of worship, and make an impact in the world. And so I want you to see a guy here in the Bible that beat 600-1 odds. There was only one of them. The Bible says that Shamgar took out 600 Philistines. Now, we know the book of Judges is at a period of time in Israel's history where they have just come into the promised land. Joshua led them into the promised land, and there was a generation who did not know Joshua. They did not remember the great deliverance that God had given them in Egypt. You remember, they were slaves in Egypt, and God had delivered them out of Egypt, brought them to the promised land. And so this period of time in history is about 1380 B.C. to about 1050 B.C. in history, the history of Israel. And during this time, there were battles taking place. Even though they had entered into the promised land, they had their land that God had given them. The enemies of God were there. And so it's the story of how that God's people were to gain victory in that land. Now, if you want to, you can go to the very end of this book, the book of Judges, the very, very end, which would be Judges chapter 21, verse 25, said this, in those days there was no king in Israel. Everyone did what was right in his own eyes. That's really was the story. Everyone did what was right in their own eyes. They didn't do what God wanted them to do. They did not go for the victory that the Lord wanted them to go for. And so all of a sudden, some Philistines came on Shamgar's land. And I think Shamgar said, you know what? You can't just sit there. I've had it. And so the Bible says he took an ox goad and he slew 600 Philistines. He beat 600-1 odds. I want to encourage you to hear from God how you can make an eternal impact on this world. Now, folks, look at me. Every believer in this auditorium, your Christian life is not, look at me, just tacked on to your own dreams. You are to be the voice of the Lord. You are to be the hands of the Lord. You are to be the feet of the Lord to get the gospel of Jesus Christ to a world. You say, oh, I'm not that gifted. I'm just a student. You say, oh, I'm retired. Or you say, I'm not that educated. Or I don't have that powerful of a position. I'm just an ordinary person. Well, can I tell you this? If you would say I'm an ordinary person, you're a great candidate to do something amazing. Amazing for Almighty God, because that's what he typically did. You know, Moses, there are 136 chapters in the Bible written about Moses, the great lawgiver. There are 89 chapters in the Gospels written about the life of Jesus Christ. This guy, Shamgar, 49 words. Just an ordinary guy. In chapter 5, verse 6, it says there that the highways were deserted. In other words, why were the highways, and it says there the highways were deserted and the travelers walked along the byways. That's, if I put it in the way we used to describe it, we took shortcuts. In other words, you couldn't go on the regular roads because on the regular roads there were bandits. It was a rough time. There was evil. There was difficulty if you took the regular roads, and so they went along the byways. They took shortcuts, and it gives us the picture that Shamgar lived in dangerous times. The stakes were high. I want you to know that the stakes are high in our world. We talk about our little elementary kids. I tell you what, folks, if we don't get Jesus Christ to people, we're in trouble. We've got to get the Lord to people. And so this man, Shamgar, I'm praying this will encourage someone today. It encourages me when I think about what Shamgar did. Now, I'm going to give you the whole outline right now. You ready? I'm going to give you the whole outline. Number one, start where you are. So the blank is where. Start where you are. Number two, use what you have. And number three, do what you can. I love that. Start where you are, use what you have, and do what you can. First thing I want to draw to your attention is this. Just start where you are. Don't put it off. 1 Corinthians 15 says this, "Therefore, my beloved brethren, be steadfast, immovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, knowing that your labor is not in vain in the Lord." Shamgar was a farmer. Listen, we're to start right where we are. You say, well, I've not gotten to the place I can really make an impact. No, you start right where you are. You're a student at UF. You start right there. You're a student at Santa Fe. You have a job here in Gainesville. You start right where you are. That's what Shamgar did. Start right now. Start here and now. They say, what is the best time to plant a fruit tree? 20 years ago. What's the second best time? Today. Today. Don't put it off. Don't think someday I'm going to do something for Jesus. If Shamgar would have thought one day I'm going to do something, Israel would have been speaking the Philistine language. But no, he said, I'm going to do something about it. How do you want to be remembered? Do you want to be remembered as someone who took the truth of God's word and did everything you could right where you were to make a difference for him or otherwise? I want to encourage you to don't think, well, when I get more time, I'm gonna do more. I remember being at UF and our director over there was a guy named Otto Spangler. I'll never forget him giving us a message one time. He said, you know, a lot of guys, when they're in college, they think, well, when I finally get out of school, I'm gonna start, you know, living my life for Christ. And then he said, what happens is they get out of school and then they say, well, I can't really do that right now. I'm starting a brand new career. And so they say, when I get married and settle down, I'm going to start living for the Lord and start doing something for Christ. And so then they get married and they say, well, I can't do it right now because, man, I'm building my business and I got all these kids and I'm trying to raise, you know, bring money in to get that done. And so they put it off. Then they finally get past that and they say, well, man, I've got to get prepared for the future. And so they just put it off, and they put it off, they put it off, and one day they look back and they realize their whole life has gone by, and they haven't done what they should have done for the Lord. Listen, do you know that Sir Francis Hester was 64 when he sailed around the world? It's never too late to say, I'm going to do something right now. Start right where you are. Winston Churchill was 65 when he became Prime Minister of England. President Reagan was 69 when he became president. Michelangelo, 66 when he completed the Sistine Chapel. Ben Franklin was 78 when he invented the bifocal lens. Anybody benefit from that? But he also, when he was younger, listen, when Franklin was younger, he owned his own newspaper. He founded the first public library at age 25. At age 30, he founded the nation's first fire department. At age 37, he invented the first heat-efficient stove, the Franklin stove. It's never too late to begin. We have a lady in our church. I don't know if Miss Aletta's here today. Is Miss Aletta here today? She is somewhere. Miss Aletta. Miss Aletta came to me a couple years ago. She said, I want to start a visitation program. I'm like, Miss Aletta, you want to start a visitation? She said, I do. She came to me. She said, I want to go on an international mission trip. I said, Miss Aletta, you want to start? Miss Aletta, a lady in her late 70s, am I safe to say that? 80s. Miss Aletta, the Lord put it on her heart to do these things. Hey, start where you are. Right where you are. The Lord has given you a dream to make a difference for the Lord. You do what the Lord has called you to do. Look for opportunities to make an impact right where you are. The scripture says, preach the word, be ready in season and out of season. Convince, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and teaching. The word instant means to be ready at hand, like your hand is on a sword. You're ready. When the opportunity comes, you do what the Lord has called you to do. They say that Napoleon said that in every battle, listen, in every battle, there's a 10 to 15 minute window where the battle will be decided depending upon what you do. Start right where you are. If God gives you a dream, college student, to make an impact for Him, you go for it. In Jesus' name, you go for it. And you say, Lord, I want to do now what you've called me to do. So you start where you are. Now, Shamgar was a farmer. I can imagine him out plowing, and he had an ox goad. The second thing is use what you have. What do you have? Shamgar had an ox goad. It was a thing that had kind of like a plow on one side. It was a wooden pole with a plow on one side, and it had been sharpened down to a spike on the other. I guess when you're plowing, you need something to kind of knock clogs of dirt away. And so, you know, it's kind of like a hoe on one side. You could push dirt around with that flat end. But if that ox wasn't willing to go, you flip that thing around and you poke the back of that oxen. And there it goes. That's what he had. He had an ox goad. Use what you have. Now, listen, I don't know. I picture Shamgar in like some kung fu movie. You know, with an ox goad wiping out 600 people. I don't know. Maybe he did. I don't know what that looked like, but all I know is the Bible says he took an ox goad and he defeated 600 enemies. I want to encourage you to use what you have. What do you have? I noticed today our instrumentalist up here. Folks with talent. Some of you have talent. You could be up here. These folks up here using their talent. Hey, they get here early. This is serious. They want to take the talent God has given them and use it for the Lord Jesus Christ. What is it that you have in your hand that God has given you? You say, well, I don't really have anything. Oh, really? I want to encourage you to dream what God could use you to do. You have dreams. You know, I think about all the things that have happened in this world. At one point in time, they were a dream to someone. I had a young person one time in my youth group that was, when they were in high school, they dreamed of going to West Point. They wanted to go to West Point so bad. And Chris, boy, he, you know, you have to know some people. You have to know your congressman or someone. He didn't know anybody, but he said, Pastor Calvin, I want to go to West Point. I want to serve my country, and I want to go to West Point. And he kept trying, and he kind of got rejected a couple of times, but he didn't quit. He had a dream of doing that. I don't know what it is God has given you a dream to do. Andy Stanley says this, dream no small dreams. Don't dream small dreams, for they stir not the hearts of men. I love the statement, faint hearts never won fair ladies. Hey, listen, you want to win the fair lady? Go for it. Go for something for Jesus. Don't let others discourage you. What do you have? You know what you have in your hand? You have your dreams of how God could use you in a special way. You know what else you have? You have enthusiasm. The word enthusiasm is from the Greek word entheos. It really means God in us. Now, yesterday, boy, I watched it on TV. Boy, today's, it's always a good day in church when the Gators win, especially when they beat Georgia, right? Now, if you're a Georgia fan, I'm sorry, but anyway. The point I'm trying to make is, how many thousands are up there screaming their guts out? I mean, you know, I'm right there with them. Boy, I was hollering. Man, stuff was flying all in my living room. You know, I was watching that thing because I was excited about it. Well, can I tell you this? The Bible tells us that when you get God in you, you ought to be enthusiastic. You have your enthusiasm in theos. God is in you. Psalm 66, 1 and 2 says, make a joyful shout to God, all the earth. Sing out the honor of his name. Make his praise glorious. I tell you what, when they were singing that song about death has died and love has won. Man, I tell you, we don't do this in Baptist churches. Some churches, people run around. If I was ever going to run, it would have been on that song today. Now, I don't know why they run, but I felt it. Hey, I want to tell you something. We can get all excited about everything, but what's really important? Let me tell you what's really important. When Jesus Christ comes into somebody's life and changes them forever and takes away the guilt of sin. Boy, I had guilt when I was a teenager. Things I had said, things I had done, the way I treated my single parent mom at times. Boy, I felt so guilty about that. But when Jesus came into my life, he said, I'll forgive you. I'm going to talk about forgiveness tonight in the Lord's Supper. So the point I'm trying to make is this. Listen, don't let other people discourage you. You have your enthusiasm. Things done for the Lord ought to be done right. They say that Beethoven created a great symphony. I love this story. One violinist, Kyle played the violin up here, and today, and others. And it said, one violinist stood and said, this section is so difficult and awkward that it is simply unplayable. That's what they said to Beethoven. Beethoven said this, quote, when I composed that passage, I was inspired by Almighty God, the maker of the universe. Do you think I can consider your puny little fiddle when God speaks through me? Hey, listen, the Lord put something on your heart to do. Don't let anyone else discourage you. If God put it on your heart, you go for him. You go for him. You have your enthusiasm. You have your talent, what it is that the Lord has given you, your instrument, your athletics, your prayer life. I knew a man, an elderly man, that took rocks and made little crosses, hundreds of them. And I get choked up thinking of it. He came up to me and he said, hey, let me tell you what I do. I go to people and I say, I'd like to give you a cross. And he had a little thing that he attached to it that was a gospel message. He brought me a whole sack of them. He said, will you give these out? He had a skill in taking little rocks and creating crosses, and he gave them away. That's what he knew how to do. And so he gave that to the Lord. You know what else you have? Not only your talent. Hey, by the way, some of you are brilliant. You're brilliant in your minds. Some of you students at UF, now I wasn't that way, okay? I was not brilliant. But some of you are. You know what you ought to do? You ought to go all the way educationally, as far as you can go. You ought to become the expert in your field. Be the very best in your field and give Christ the glory. Use what God has given you, make your talent a platform for a testimony. I think about folks with their athletics. Use that for the Lord. But you know what else you have? You have your experience. You have the way, the experiences you've had in your life. Use those for the Lord. You know, I always remember the story John MacArthur tells. He was an athlete, the preacher John MacArthur. was a college football player. And he gave his testimony. He was a high school football star. He gave his testimony, and somebody said, I know somebody in the hospital needs to hear that testimony. Would you go and share your testimony? He was very timid about that. He said, I know how to play football, but I don't know how to speak. And so he went and he shared his testimony with this girl who had had an accident, and she was a quadriplegic, and she was wanting to die. She was wanting to just take her own life. She said, I have nothing to live for because of the accident that's happened to me. And he went in and shared his testimony. And make a long story short, she gave her life to Jesus. And John MacArthur said that later on, when he was trying to decide what to do, he said, you know, I realized that because of that experience, God used me, and it set him on fire to be used by God in the way that he's been used. And so take your experiences and use them for the Lord. Use your influence. Whatever your influence is, use it for the Lord. Young people need role models. They need someone to take their stand and to be used of God. And a little boy was in a barber shop, and a man said to that little boy, who did not have a dad, who was there getting his hair cut, he said, who would you like to become when you grow up? And the boy said, I ain't never met nobody I want to be like when I grow up. Hey, listen, why don't you become that person for that little boy? Why don't you become a role model for that little boy? Boy, I had those people in my life. I had a man who taught young people for over 50 years, who taught me the Bible when I was a kid. And every time he wasn't a really good speller. He'd write things on the board that would be wrong, and then he'd always tell us, he goes, it's a sorry guy that can only spell a word one way. That was his response. But he would get up and he would try to, you know, he got saved on the bow of a ship in World War II. And I remember sitting on the front row in that classroom. And I remember when Mr. Marshall began to talk about Jesus, his lip would quiver. It would begin to shake because Jesus was so tender to him. And I remember thinking, I don't have that kind of walk with God in my life, but I want that. He became a role model for me, and there's so many others that did too. So you use your influences. So start where you are. Use what you have. What is it that God's given you? Use what you have. And then the third thing is do what you can. The word Shamgar means he hears God. It means to listen with the intent of obeying. He wanted to obey now. Do what you can. Listen, you can't save everyone. You can't get necessarily the gospel to every person on the planet, but you know what you can do? You can do what you can do right now. In 1855, a Sunday school teacher named Edward Kimball walked into a shoe store, Holton's Shoe Store in Boston. There was a man there he wanted to witness to, and so he got this young man aside. He said, I want to tell you about Jesus. And he did. And after a period of time, that man got down on his knees and he gave his life to Jesus. That man's name was Dwight Moody. The shoe salesman was D.L. Moody. D.L. Moody in 1879 went to England, and there was a pastor named F.B. Meyer. You've heard that name, F.B. Meyer? F.B. Meyer was greatly encouraged in his preaching because he heard D.L. Moody preach. As a result, another pastor named J. Wilbur Chapman ended up preaching for the YMCA. They would send him out, and he would preach to the YMCA, and he had an impact on Billy Sunday. By the way, Billy Sunday is a great baseball player. He was the first player to run the bases in 14 seconds. Billy Sunday met Jesus Christ at the Pacific Garden Mission in Chicago. Billy was especially used to give his testimony and to preach in a place down in Charlotte, North Carolina. Well, down in Charlotte, a group of men, as a result of Billy's preaching, a group of men got together and they formed a committee, and they said, we want to bring evangelists here. Well, one time they brought a man named Mordecai Ham to preach in Charlotte, and there was a troubled 16-year-old kid in that congregation who gave his life to Jesus, and his name was Billy Graham. That chain of events started with a Sunday school teacher. Oh, just an ordinary guy. Oh, pastor, you know, they keep asking me if I'll take this class. There's not that many that even come. You never know the impact you may make. Start where you are. Use what you have. Do what you can. Don't let self-doubt stop you. Moses was doubtful. He said, Lord, in Exodus chapter 3, verses 11 through 14, Moses said to God, who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and that I should bring the children of Israel out of Egypt? So he said, I will certainly be with you. God said, I will be with you. Moses said, who am I? Jeremiah said, who am I? You say, I don't know that I could make that great of an impact. Look, God will take even you in your broken life and use you. I heard this, it cracked me up. The Lawrence Berkeley National Laboratory in California did a study on duct tape. Okay, you ready for this? Here's what they concluded. Duct tape doesn't work on ducts. Now they said this, they said, now if you want to tape up an air vent or an air duct, don't use duct tape, it doesn't work. We know it's called duct tape, but it doesn't work. But here's what it does work on. It tapes wires and cables to the floor. It repairs cracked windows. It fixes broken book bindings. It can repair broken taillights. It can fix patio furniture. It can fix vinyl siding. It can patch seat covers. It can repair eyeglasses and even remove warts. But it doesn't fix ducts. Folks, listen. You say, well, I don't know what I could do. You know what? Give what you have to Jesus. And you do what you can and watch what God may do. Don't let the discouragement of others stop you. Max Lucado, in his book, He Still Moves Stones, says this. And I just pray that this will encourage some of you. Listen, he says this. Ignore what people say. Block them out. Turn them off. Close your ears. And if you have to, walk away. Ignore the ones who say it's too late to start over. Disregard those who say you'll never amount to anything. Turn a deaf ear toward those who say you aren't smart enough, fast enough, tall enough, big enough. Ignore them. Faith sometimes begins by stuffing your ears with cotton. In 1831... he failed in business. In 1832, he's defeating the legislature. In 1833, he failed in business again. In 1836, he had a nervous breakdown. In 1838, he was defeated for speaker. In 1840, he was defeated for elector. In 1843, he was defeated in Congress. In 1848, he was defeated again in Congress. In 1855, he was defeated in the Senate. In 1856, he was defeated for vice president. But in 1860, Abraham Lincoln was voted in as president of the United States. Don't let others discourage you. I'd like for us to bow our heads and hearts in prayer. The Bible says that Shamgar was a farmer. He had an ox goad. He just couldn't sit there any longer. And I just wonder what it is that God has called you to do, where you can make an impact for Jesus Christ. I want to encourage you to do it. The Lord raised up Shamgar as a judge in Israel to show his people that God can beat 600-1 odds. When you discern the times, you can't just sit there. God wants to use you. There's a story that goes that the angels in heaven were talking to Jesus after he had ascended back, after his death, burial, and resurrection. He was in heaven, and the angels said to Jesus, they said, Jesus, now how do they get the message out? And Jesus said, I'm going to use my children. I'm going to use those that have come to know me as Savior. I'm going to use the church to get the message out. And as the The story goes, the angel said, but the humans are so unreliable. And Jesus said to them, but I have no other plan. Folks, can I tell you this? If we don't take our stand for Jesus, who will? If we don't do what we can with what we have right now, who will? So I want to encourage you to take on the assignment, dream the dream that God has for you to live.
Thanks for letting this small part of North Central Baptist Church experience stream into your life. We hope you will visit us soon and become part of the family of North Central Baptist Church, reflecting Christ's light on Gainesville and the world.